All right, it's an honor to be here with you guys this morning to worship with you. And like Steve said, we're going through a sermon series called What's God, What God's Like, and we're going through the characteristics of God. So before I get started, I want to ask you guys, do I strike you as someone who likes love and romance stories? Do I strike you as someone who likes love and romance stories? And for those of you who know me, you would say, nah, Tim's not a mushy-gushy guy. He likes kickboxing, and he even used the word strike in his sentence. But surprisingly, I actually do. I do love love and romance stories and stories of faithfulness. Now, I'm not talking about superficial drama, but I'm talking about really deep and meaningful love and romance stories and stories about faithfulness. So I like the stories where the guy gets on the last plane to chase after the girl he loves, and he's going to go through anything just to be with her. I like the stories where the hero overcomes all obstacles. Everything's trying to stop him from being with this person, but he'll break through all of that just to be with the one he loves. And there's a lot of Koreans in the house, so you guys watch your Korean dramas. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about these love stories. Sometimes there's love triangles. This person loves this person, but this person's chasing after that person. Sometimes it gets so crazy where it becomes love rectangles, and people are chasing after each other's hearts. But what really gets me, or really hurts me, is times when I'm really deep into a story and one person is tempted to give their heart to someone else when they already pledged devotion to another person. And I'm watching it, and it's the part where you smack your hand on your forehead. It's like, if you do that, I'm going to turn this show off right now. I'm not going to stand for that. So there's something beautiful about a lover who whispers, I have eyes for no one except you. There's something precious when someone says, no matter what happens, I'll never leave your side. Such a quality would even compel King Solomon to give up his 1,000 wives for the love of just one maiden. And that is the quality of faithfulness. See, faithfulness says devotion to one, where unfaithfulness says, go dabble with many. Faithfulness says, I'll never leave you, but unfaithfulness says, I'll leave when it's convenient. Faithfulness says, I won't be shaken, but unfaithfulness says, I'll go wherever the wind blows. So I'm here to talk to you about the greatest love story. I'm here to talk to you about the greatest story of faithfulness, and that's found in the Bible. So God is always faithful to his people. His devotion is not shaken by the winds, nor does God abandon his people. Because God is faithful, he deserves that we live our lives faithfully back to him. So if I could define faithfulness in one simple statement, it would simply be this. Faithfulness is the strength of one's loyalty and commitment. Faithfulness is the strength of your loyalty and commitment. Now, to describe faithfulness, there's a lot of images I can give you, but the image of faithfulness that God personally selects is the image of marriage. Of all the images of faithfulness, God personally chooses the image of marriage. So a lot of verses throughout the Bible where he describes, I'll read this one in Revelations 19:7. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. So God describes Jesus as the groom and the church as the bride. And if Jesus is the groom and the church is the bride getting ready for the wedding day, then all our lives we should be working to be faithful to God. All our lives we should be working to make our lives more pure from waiting to meet him one day. So there's three keys of faithfulness. Faithfulness requires three things. The first is loyalty. The second is a relationship or agreement. And the third is expectation. So using the image of marriage, since God uses that in scripture, you know when you get married to someone, you pledge your loyalty to them. You tell them, you're my one and only. When I say yes to you, I'm saying no to everyone else. And it's kind of like that with God too. When we accept God and we come into this, we pledge our loyalty to God. We're saying, God, you're my only God, and there's no other God. I'm going to live solely for you and nothing else. And there's a relationship, an agreement. When you get married, you pledge in sickness or in health, in life or in death. So you agree to God, God, no matter what comes, I'm going to stick it out with you. I know you're going to be there for me. From death and beyond, I pledge myself to you. And expectations, you know when you get married to someone, you change the way you live based on that person's likes. You change the way you live based on that person's likes. So sometimes guys, when you get married to a girl, girls, sometimes the guys don't like when they find a lot of hair in the shower. You know what I'm talking about? And for the guys, sometimes when you use the toilet, sometimes you always leave it up and they want you to put it down. And small things like that, you start to work around that, and because you love them, you start to change your ways for them. And it's a lot like that with God too. When we love God and we pledge ourselves to God, there's some things that God doesn't like. God's saying, man, I don't like when you cheat each other. I don't like when you steal. I don't like when you hurt each other. I don't like when you pursue evil. And because you're in a relationship with me, that has to change if you want this relationship to work. So marriage as an image of faithfulness between God and his people. So if God is faithful towards his people, then God fulfills those things. God fulfills his loyalty. God fulfills his relationship. And God fulfills expectation. So I want to talk about God's loyalty. What does the Bible say about God's loyalty? Now, there's many verses, but I'm just going to read you one. Deuteronomy 31:8. It says, "The Lord himself will go before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." He'll go before you and he'll never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes we're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of what stands before us. But God says, "I'm already there. I'm already there." And in this life, we live in a sinful and a broken world. Friends may leave you. Family may leave you. And even the ones you love, when death comes, they're going to leave you. They can't be there for you. But God says, from death and beyond, I'll never leave you. I'm your stronghold. I'll never leave you, no matter what happens. Next, I want to talk about God's covenant. What does God promise? What's the relational agreement that God gives to you? He gives you his loyalty. And he makes a covenant, a promise with you, and a relational agreement. In Leviticus 26:12, he says, "I will walk among you, I will be your God, and you will be my people." That's really powerful. I will walk among you, I will be your God, and I want you to be my people. You know, some people believe if there is a God out there, he's mighty and he's powerful, but he's far out there. We can't know him. He doesn't deal with humanity. He's just out there. He made creation, but he has nothing to do with creation. But God's saying, no. I'm powerful and I'm mighty, but I do know you, and I will walk among you, and I will associate you. And that's manifested literally in the person of Jesus Christ. I will walk among you, and you'll be my people. Now, expectations. So because you're with God, God's got some expectations of you. He wants you to live a righteous life. He wants you to live in faith. He wants you to live in love. In Leviticus 26:14-16, he says, "However, if you do not listen to me or obey my commands, I will punish you." And that's like with every relationship. Husbands, you know, if you do something that you're not supposed to do, you're going to get punished for it. All relationships have repercussions based on what you do. And it's the same thing with God. So God is always faithful. There's never a time when God is not faithful. God is always faithful. Sometimes we're faithful. And sometimes we're not faithful. Our faithfulness sometimes it fluctuates, but God is always faithful. And because God is always faithful, he's able to deal with us even in the times where we're unfaithful to God. So I want to tell you about a love story. This is the book of Hosea. And this is a story where God's people failed in their loyalty, where they failed in their covenant, in their relationship. And they failed to live up to what God expected of them. And even in the midst of their unfaithfulness, God's faithfulness broke through and reached them. So this is a story where God invites the prophet Hosea to share a little bit of his heartbreak. This is a story where God chases after his people and Hosea chases after his wife. There's a parallel. So oftentimes we say, do you want to know the heart of God? We've heard that question. Do you want to know the heart of God? And immediately we say, yes, I want to know the heart of God. But I want you to actually think about what that means. Do you want to know the heart of God and everything that comes with it? High and low, positive and negative, the great times, the joyful times, the sorrowful times. So we talk about God's love and we say, God's love is higher than the sky. God's love is more mighty than the mountains. God's love is deeper than the sea, wider than any river. And that's right. Now imagine that same magnitude of love if that love was in heartbreak. So God's love is mightier than the mountains. Imagine the mountains crumbling. Imagine the sky falling down. If God's love is mightier than that, imagine what happens when God gets heartbreak. So Israel pledged themselves to God, and they're chasing after other things. So this story might make you uncomfortable, but if you want to know the heart of God, it comes at a great depth. So the story begins, Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. God tells Hosea, go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. Now, first line of the chapter, you guys are like, whoa, God told someone to go marry a prostitute. What's going on? All right, so this is a valid marriage. This is a God-ordained marriage. This is God himself saying, you're going to marry this woman. And the thing is, this woman's not going to be faithful to you. But you're going to marry her anyways, and you're going to be obedient to that. And you're going to fulfill the covenant of marriage on your part, 100%, but she is not going to. So this will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So these people in the Old Testament, they had a lot of neighboring nations around them who worshiped other gods, and sometimes they would get caught up in that. So remember I told you about those love stories where you know this person should give their kiss and their heart to this person because they pledged their devotion to them, but they're off chasing some other person. You're like, what are you doing? This is what's going on in that story. They're chasing after a different god when they pledged to give their heart to God, where God split the seas, led them out of Egypt. So they kept worshiping other gods and practicing false practices. So the next verse, Hosea 2:7, says, when he refers to she, he's referring to Israel. It says, when she runs after other lovers, she won't be able to catch them. She will search for them, but not find them. So it's kind of like us when we choose other things before God, when God deserves our love and our devotion, but we seek after other things before him. God's saying, you're going to search for those things, but you're not going to find it. The next verse, Hosea 2:7, continuing on that verse, says, then she will think, I might as well return to my husband, for I was better off with him than I am now. I was better off with him than I am now. So we chase after things besides God, and then when we finally get it, it's not like what we expected. We thought it was going to fulfill us, we thought it was going to satisfy us, but when we finally get it, it doesn't hold up to that promise. And then sometimes we have that spiritual guilt, and we realize, you know, I was actually better off with God than I am now. I was actually better off with God. Why did I choose this over God? You realize you're wrong. And it's only when you realize you're wrong that you will start to take steps in returning to God. So the next verse, Hosea 3:1, it says, go and love your wife again. Go and love your wife again. God's telling Hosea, go take her back. Even though she commits adultery with another lover, this will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned their backs on God and towards other gods and love to worship them. I try to read that and I try to imagine that, what would that be like? Tim, you're going to have this wife and you're going to love her and she's not going to love you back. And you're going to be faithful to her and she's not going to be faithful back to you. But you know what? When she makes the mistake, you're going to go and take her back. That really hits me really hard. I'm trying to see, Hosea understands because he's literally there and God's inviting him to share a piece of his heart. But just reading that, if I was Hosea, or if I'm trying to understand God, I don't know how you could do that. I don't know how I would be able to cope with that. Even though she runs off with someone, you're telling me to take her back? God's saying yes, because that's what I'm going to do for Israel. That's what I'm going to do for Israel. So the next verse, Hosea 2:14, it says, but then I will win her back once again. God's saying, I will win her back once again. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness, justice, unfailing love, and compassion. I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as Lord. So I want to tell you guys, sometimes in your faith walk, we say we're going to pledge our devotion to God. We say, God, I'll be faithful to you. You'll be my first love. But in my life, I've professed that, and sometimes I've fallen short, to be honest. I confess that sometimes I've fallen short, Sometimes I've chased after other things, only to realize this doesn't satisfy me the way I thought it would. I know I shouldn't have pursued it. I pledged my faithfulness to God, but I turned and made a different direction in my life. And when you make this mistake, and when you go down different roads, know that God is out to win your heart. Remember I told you about those crazy stories where the guy goes on the airplane, I need to get on this plane, it costs $1,000, whatever, I'm going to get on this plane, I'll buy that $1,000 ticket. And he does whatever, he fights off an army, slays a dragon to go be with his princess, and crazy stuff like that. So if you like those heroes, this is a hero who's much more heroic, much more loving, much more faithful. This is God chasing after your heart. God saying, when you sin and you make those mistakes, I'm heartbroken, but I love you so much, I'm still out to win your heart. I'm still out there chasing you. I'm fighting battles. I'm going to break down every wall to come find you because I love you. Next verse says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confession and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us, so that we may offer you praises. Here's God telling you, come back. Even though you've made mistakes, come back. Confess your sins, and I'll take you back. I'll take you back every time. That's crazy to think about. That's crazy to think about. If I had a wife and she was unfaithful to me, and God said, keep taking her back, keep taking her back. I don't know if I could do this. That's beyond me. But God's saying, this is what I did for you. This is what I'm doing for you. This is what I want for you. God wants you back every time you're unfaithful. Every single time. I've been unfaithful a lot of times in my life. And there's times where I said, God possibly can't want me. You know, I'm dirty, I'm sinful, I screwed up. I knew I shouldn't have did that, but I went and did it anyways. I went and chased after that other lover, even though God was supposed to be my true lover. And I know I screwed up. And God said, Tim, I still want you back. He's saying, I still want you back. I know your mistakes. When I died on the cross for you, I knew every mistake you were going to make, and I still wanted you. That's how faithful I am to you. I knew you were going to be unfaithful to me, but I still wanted you. See, so faithfulness goes two ways. I talked about how God is always faithful, but sometimes our faithfulness fluctuates. God is always faithful on his end of the relationship, just like how Hosea was. But how about you? What's your faithfulness like to God? I'd like to turn it back to you, because faithfulness goes two ways. Relationship goes two ways, right? I can't always expect God to be faithful and never make any effort to not be faithful back. In fact, because God is so faithful, I want to make every effort to be faithful back to God. So faithfulness requires loyalty, relationship, and expectation. I want to ask you and just want you to evaluate yourself, just between you and God. What's your loyalty like to God in terms of faithfulness? What's your loyalty like to God? What would it take you to turn away from God? What would it take you to compromise your loyalty? See, all throughout the Bible, we hear stories and we see people, people who are faithful and people who are unfaithful, people whose loyalty is compromised. Your stories of Judas. Judas sold Jesus up for a few pieces of silver. Imagine him telling his story. I walked with Jesus, I broke bread with Jesus, but man, I sold him out for a few pieces of silver and I was so regretful. I was so unfaithful that I went and I hung myself. I didn't seek after that forgiveness. And that's crazy to say that. Or you think of stories like Esau. I sold my birthright for just a bowl of soup and that was it. God gave me a special birthright and I gave it up because I was just so hungry for this physical appetite. I gave it up. Sometimes we're like that with our sin. Sometimes I just had this fleshly desire for sin and I just gave it up. I gave God's blessing up for just this bowl of soup, this little bit of sin, and when it was done, I cried, where's my blessing? Where's my birthright? Sometimes you pursue sin and that relationship with God is severed. What's your loyalty to God like? And next, what's your relationship to God like? Just between you and God, what's your relationship to God like? Some people, to be honest, they don't have a relationship with God at all. This might be your first time hearing about this. This might be your first time being introduced to a relationship with God. For some of you, you may have been in the Christian walk for many years, but sometimes what if your relationship grows stale? Some people are on fire in the relationship for God, and they're ever pursuing a greater relationship with God. Where are you at in your relationship with God? An expectation. If God gives you the image of marriage. If your relationship to God is compared to a marriage, what's your marriage like? Are you living up to God's expectations? Are you walking in the Spirit, obeying the convictions, obeying the Word, being in times of prayer, enjoying God's presence, asking for God, man, I don't know what this job, I need you, whatever job door opens, like, I need you there, God. Relationship-wise, I don't know who I'm going to marry, God, but if there's someone out there, then I definitely need your guidance and your blessing. Or do you go out and pursue these things all on your own? So I would like to just to conclude with a few things. The biggest question in the Christian faith, the biggest question in life, the biggest decision you'll ever have to make is on the person of Jesus Christ. So what will you do with Jesus Christ bleeding on a cross, saying, I love you, be faithful to me because I've been faithful to you? See, if the Bible is a love story, then the death on a cross was a proposal to you. It was a proposal from a faithful God to an unfaithful people. The death on the cross was a proposal of a faithful God to unfaithful people because he loves you. Now get this, you know I talked about how God's crazy about you and he gets jealous about you and he chases after you. God does not need you. God does not need me. God is self-sufficient. God won't die without me. God won't die without you. So he doesn't need you, and he won't die without you, but he would die because he wants you. God's not going to die without you, but he loves you so much, he wants to be with you so much that he would die for you in order to be with you. And I need God. You need God. And I would die without God, and you would die without God. But sometimes, even though we would die without God, we don't want God, and we turn our backs on him. That's crazy, right? God won't die without us, but he would die to be with us. We would die without God, yet sometimes we don't want to be with him and be faithful to him. That's crazy. So I want to tell you, and I want to encourage you, if you've ever been unfaithful, you feel like, man, God will never take me back. God will never take me back. Put your faith in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Put your faith in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, because Jesus' faithfulness is perfect and ours is not. So we put our faith in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ because Jesus was the only one to be truly faithful on both sides of the covenant as God and man. Jesus was fully God and he was fully man, and he was fully faithful as God and he was fully faithful and obedient as man. And we take that perfection and we put our hope and our faith in it, even in our times when we were not faithful. So I want to put my faithfulness in the perfect faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And I want to walk into eternity with God holding my hand. And those who don't put their trust and faithfulness in Jesus Christ, you walk into eternity alone with no one walking in your hand. So some people say, because God died for me and was faithful to me, even when I was unfaithful, I want to live faithfully back to him. And others look at God's faithfulness and simply reject it. So I want to leave you with this final word. If you read the book of Hosea, you don't really know the ending. It doesn't really give you much of an ending. It leaves it pretty open. And it's almost as if God's saying, how do you want that story to end? If you were the unfaithful wife, how do you want that story to end? And you have the opportunity to finish that story in your life. There's times where I've been unfaithful, but God's saying, Tim, just like how the ending of Hosea is open, you have the opportunity to write your story, whether you return that faithfulness or whether you remain unfaithful. So I just encourage you to put your faith in the perfect faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to close off in prayer. God, I thank you for so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for always being faithful, Father, even when we were not faithful, Lord. And I know sometimes we've made mistakes and we can't understand or even grasp how you could possibly take us back But just like in the story of Hosea, you're a lover always chasing us, even though we're chasing after other things, Father. You love us so much that you would die for us, and you invite us into a relationship with you. And there's nothing that'll stop you from ever chasing us, Lord, and you desire our hearts. And rightfully so, Father. So I pray that if there's people here who are hearing about you for the first time, that they would pledge their devotion and faithfulness to you, Lord. And Christians here who have been in the faith walk for many years, Father, that they can continue to renew their passion for you and live faithfully for you, Father. I thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.